They look out at us from a lost age, dressed in their Sunday best and full of that air of confidence and respectability that is so distinctive of the Victorian age. These are the good folk of Norwich, and they want their place in posterity. And granting them that were the city's photographic studios, set up to catch the crest of a wave and of an exciting new technology which changed their perceptions of the world. Those 1850s and the 1860s days are explored in a new book, Norwich Victorian Photographers, which is full of examples of some of such city folk and the stories of the people who captured them. The first surprise comes with just how many businesses there were. Author Michael Shingfield lists 118, but acknowledges that the real number could be probably more than that. You have to realise that there were a lot of travelling photographers. They'd turn up at a fair, he said. It's hard to imagine now just how remarkable all this would have seemed to people of that era. For the first time in history, ordinary people had a way of memorialising themselves, something that for centuries had been the sole preserve of the genteel who could afford portrait painters. And for us, looking back from the selfie-crammed 21st century, it gives us the chance to look on the faces of our ancestors, people who would otherwise been just a line in a parish record or a name on a gravestone. The family photographic album had been born. As with new technology of any era, photography was only a few decades old, the early adopters tended to be the well-heeled. In this case, the gentry keen to have cartes de visite, i.e. calling cards, but it sounded posher in French, to press on their counterparts during their endless rounds of country house parties and social engagements. As photography became more accessible, business people did the same, and then finally, ordinary folk. That said, it was still a special occasion purchase. They would have been a shilling a copy, probably 2 days' pay for a normal person, Mr. Shingfield, who lives in Heacham, said. So you'd have done them for your wedding, engagement, 21st birthday, and you'd get up in your best bib and tucker. Inevitably, as with any fad, businesses came and went, but those that endured tended to have a bit of pedigree behind them. The ones who seemed to survive were the ones who already had a business background, where the father already had another business. Sawyers of London Street, in business from 1853, seems to have been the biggest and the best. One well-known name which is still with us is Barrett and Co., which has survived and thrived through the generations thanks to innovations such as one-hour print shops and being one of the earliest companies to use colour wedding photography. The company can trace its roots back to Albert Coe, who worked as a photographer for Sawyer and Bird before taking careful superintendence of the business in 1871 and becoming a junior partner the following year. Albert, who set up on his own in 1883, was, we can safely say, a man with a sharp eye for a commercial opportunity. He was also an optician and offered a sideline in refined conjuring and ventriloquial entertainments. At least his sideline was respectable, not so with other, less reputable studios. In May 1881, police raided the studio of George Tanney and arrested him for selling lewd and obscene photographs, for contaminating and corrupting the morals of local folk. He was sentenced to a year's hard labour. A retired National Trust craftsman, Mr. Shingfield, and his late wife Jacqueline caught the collecting bug when they started looking out for woodworking tools made in Norwich. The city had a worldwide reputation for them. They were exported to America all over the place, and that resulted in his first book, published in 2014. His latest book was put together with the help of their daughter Jenny, and another book project is already on the go. I'm doing research on city chemists at the moment. There were lots of them too. I've collected just under 1,000 19th century invoices, he says. Each of them is a mini work of art, full of elegant typefaces and packed with social history. A man who clearly likes a challenge, Michael is also looking at recording every change of shop in London Street since the 1800s. The idea is to have a billboard for every shop with its history on it. I'd like to have it ready in time for the Heritage Open days, but I'll have to see how I get on. As for the golden era of carte de visite photography that gradually came to an end as the 19th century wore on, one of the reasons was the huge popularity in picture postcards from the 1890s. They were much more interesting to people. You could have lots of them and post them round to your friends, said Mr. Shingfield. Another game changer was Eastman Kodak's Brownie camera, introduced in 1900, and which put photography into the hands, literally, of millions of working class folk. But thousands of cartes de visite are still out there, ripe for collecting, in car boot sales, junk shops and second-hand bookshops. And each and every one of them is a perfect little slice of social history in a 2.5-inch by 4-inch format.